I won't be long tonight, I don't think. As I told you here in Psalm 119, there's some nights that we may not get through a whole 8-verse section. And then there's going to be some nights where we breeze through it pretty quick and just look at the text. And it's going to be whatever the Lord wants, amen. And so we're going to be looking at Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32 tonight. And cover this fourth section of this psalm, of 22 of them. If I've got it counted right, and I got my Wednesday nights where I'm supposed to be going to revival counted right, we should finish this in February. Amen. And so maybe we might even sneak in a Sunday night here and there. But I'm enjoying studying it. And you may not understand this, but as a preacher, I'm enjoying it because it's making me be disciplined to work through the text and go through it verse by verse. It's a daunting task when you pick a 176-verse chapter and say, I'm going to preach on every verse in it. But the Lord's helped us so far, amen? So far, so good. But those who've been here long enough know that I may not finish it. But, I mean, you don't know. I mean, I'm going to one day, I'm going to finish all those series. I started it. I mean, you know, I plan on staying here till I die, so I'm going to run out of sermons eventually. I'm going to go back and finish all them series I never started, amen? So, Psalm 119 and verse number 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the ways of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove me from the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness in our life. Lord, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thy spirit, have your will and way, get glory to yourself in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Here we come to Psalm 119. We know that the theme and the thought of the psalmist here is the Word of God. Thank God we have a Bible tonight, amen. I'm glad I don't have to stand up here and say, well, I think this is God's Word. I'm glad I can report to you tonight that I know without a shadow of a doubt this is the Word of God, amen. One writer said that the Word of God is able to bind up the brokenhearted, encourage the discouraged, comfort the crushed, and empower the empty. One writer said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold on me. Proverbs 6:22 says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is the lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life. Amen. This word daleth that starts this next section, it is the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it means door. It means an entrance. And truly tonight, Christ is the door. He said in John chapter 10 and verse number 9, I am the door. But may I also remind you tonight that Jesus said that he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So we could say that the Word of God is the door to holiness and to happiness and to hope. And can I say this? It is the door to heaven. Amen. You will not get to heaven except by the truth of the Word of God. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I know there's people running around years ago and they said, I don't believe somebody could read a gospel tract and get saved. They said, I believe they have to hear preaching. What are you going to do about the community of folks that are deaf, that cannot physically hear a man get up and preach? I'm telling you, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what a gospel tract is? All it is a sermon that somebody wrote down, and so we could give it out in an easier and a more convenient
convenient way to send the word of God out. And Isaiah 55 said that word will not return unto me void. Amen. So may I encourage you, get you some gospel tracts. Get you some of these invitation cards and put a track with it and give it to folks over this next couple weeks and invite them to come and get the word of God out there, because the word of God will always get the job done. It is the door. So let's look at our text tonight very quickly. I'm going to try to be done in about 15 minutes. We'll take some prayer requests and get you home tonight. Number one, in verses 25 and 28, we find the condition of his soul. The condition of his soul. As we begin to examine the text, we find the psalmist has found himself in a difficult time in his life. He is suffering persecution and pain and problems all at the same time. I've quoted this verse to you many a times, but Job chapter 14 verse 1 still says that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Emotionally, he is devastated. Spiritually, he is down. And physically, he is dragging. This psalmist here, we believe it could be David. He has found himself in a difficult place. First of all, in verse number 25, he is low. Watch what he said in verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. In other words, he said, I have looked and I have found myself on the bottom. That word cleaveth there gives the idea of glue. In other words, watch it now. He can't get away from it. You ever been in a low spot in your life where you wanted to get away from it, where you were trying to get away from it, but you couldn't get away? It was like you were stuck like glue to it. He's in a low place. May I remind you, there are going to be low times in this life. He came over in Deuteronomy chapter 11, talking about the land of Canaan. He said it is a land of hills and valleys. Thank God for the hills. We want to shout about the hills and the mountains, but he said there are going to be valleys there too. But can I say this? For there is good news. If you found yourself on the bottom tonight, there's some good news. First of all, there's only one way to go. And that's up. Amen. And then if you found yourself on the bottom, there's only one way to look. And that's up. Amen. But David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He is in a low spot tonight. Also, we find in verse 28, he is loaded down. Watch what he said in verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. That word melteth is a poetic way of expressing weeping. What has caused him to come so low? What has caused him to become so loaded? He's got a burden in his life. Many people carry burdens. You're not the only one carrying a burden tonight. Now, that should do two things to you. Number one, that should encourage you that you're not the only one. But number two, that should also cause you not be acting like an American snowflake. In other words, I'm the only one. You're not the only one. I don't mean, I that's a twofold, to encourage you and then to instruct you. Number one, encourage you ain't the only one, but then you're not the only one. You catch what I'm trying to say? Some people think the trouble they're having ain't nobody else in the world ever had what they're going on. And I promise you, in 6,000 years of human history and 7 billion people on the earth, somebody's dealing what you're dealing with. You're not the only one. That doesn't minimize your trouble. That should encourage you that other people have walked through it before and they've made it. He's carrying a burden. He's loaded down. Can I say this? You're going to have to carry burdens. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Everybody's going to have to bear a burden. But then the Bible also said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's burdens you have to carry. There's things that are heavy. But can I say this? We can help one another. How do you carry somebody's burden? You pray for them. You pray with them. Amen. And you know how to help somebody when they're carrying. I'm trying to take that 15 minute thing, but I don't know how well it's going to do. But you know how to help carry somebody's burden? Get under the load with them. Yes. That's good. Amen. Get under the load with them. Can we illustrate it tonight? Let's find us a burden tonight. Let's get us a burden. Let's illustrate a burden tonight. All right. I was wondering if there was a book in there. Come here, Brother Richie. Just hold it over your shoulders like I'm holding it. You got it?
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought we were bearing each other's burden.
No, I'm illustrating. Here's Brother Rich. He's bearing this burden, and every day it gets heavier. And he gets heavier. You know what? He's pretty low. He's loaded down. And you know what I could do? I could stand back and say, old Rich having a hard time. Wonder what he done wrong. Wonder what secret sin he has in his life. That's what Job's friends did. Instead, what I'm biblically supposed to do is go over here with him and say, brother, can I help you pray about that?
Yeah.
Can I help you carry that? Is there something I could do to be a blessing to you? You know what? It's not as heavy as it was. You getting a hold of this? I got it. Bear the burden along with somebody. Amen. Can I say this? There are a lot of burdens we have in this life. People have family burdens. Hey, if you got a prodigal tonight, how many, you got a prodigal, somebody in your family, and we've done this before, somebody in your family that's not saved. How many has somebody in your family, dear you, that's not saved, you got a burden for it? You pray for them. How about spending some time praying for somebody across the pews, prodigal? Help them bear that burden. And then you pray for their problem. Bear that burden together. He's low. He's loaded. But watch this. He's lifted. Watch what he said in the end of verse 25. We didn't read it all. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 28, the latter part. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. He said, I'm telling you, the only way I'm going to make it through this low time in my life, and the only way I'm going to make it through this loaded time in my life when I'm under a heavy burden, I've got to have the help of the word of God. Now, thank God for those that bear those burdens along with us. But how would we know that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens if we didn't have that Bible to tell us to, amen? He said, God, I'm in a low place, and I can't get away from it. And God, the burdens are getting heavier every day. So God, would you take that word and would you quicken me and would you strengthen me? The word quicken means to have life, to live, to be revived, to be restored. The word strengthen means to rise up or to stand up. Amen. So we find the confession of his soul. Number two, we find the cry of his supplication. Look at verse 26, 27, and 29. We find his prayer in verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. His completeness in it, he declared his ways. He is, that word have is a past tense. He said, God, I've already told you about this once. He's poured it all out before the Lord. But he finds a little comfort. He said, and thou heardest me. May I remind you tonight, God is not obligated to hear our prayers. But I'm so glad that he does. Somebody said, God has to do this. May I remind you, God ain't got to do nothing. He's God. But according to his word, he said, call to me, I'll answer thee. We got a promise on it, amen. His prayer. Then we find his plea in verse 26 and 27. May I remind you, no matter how low you are, God will hear you. Jonah said, I was in the belly of hell and I cried to the Lord and he heard me. And no matter how low you are, God will still hear you, amen. His plea, teach me thy statutes, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. I find the classroom. He said, teach me thy statutes. You know, this man has got to have a good knowledge of God's word. So how you know, preacher? He's writing 176 verses with the theme of God's word in mind. And you know what he's saying? Would you teach me some more? Sounds like a man is saying, God, I know a lot, but I've not learned it all. I'm not trying to be funny tonight, but you can't tell somebody, teach somebody something that knows it all. If we're not careful, we have to, especially as preachers, that's why I like the Sunday school thing we've been doing, people asking questions, because I'll say, I don't know. I'm not too proud to say I don't know, because I don't know it all. I wish I could explain the word replenish. I'm working on it. He's working on it. But what I'm saying is, this man wrote 176 verses on God's word, and he said, I'd like to learn a little bit more. Old Brother Milford Biddle, some of you heard Brother Biddle preach. Brother Biddle, how many of you ever heard Milford Biddle? Three or four of us? He would literally get up and quote entire. We heard him one night at Back to Bethel quote the book of James. Not read it, he quoted it. And Brother Biddle was what, in his 70s, Brother Perry? Something like that? I mean, sharp dresser, double-breasted suit, shiny shoes, and black wire-rimmed glasses. Oh, he was, and white hair. Man, I hope I look like that when I get old. He'd quote entire chapters. You know what a preacher asked him one night? Said, preacher, what is your number one regret in the ministry? He said, I didn't memorize more scripture. Brother Biddle knew so much scripture, he wouldn't take a Bible to the pulpit. He would take an outline book. I always found that funny. You can memorize scripture, but you can't memorize your outline. But he would memorize his text and get up, and he quoted the book of James one night. And here's a man, you'd think, boy, he must know it all. He'd said, I wish I memorized
some more scripture. Then notice, not only he wants to learn it. He says it's comprehension. Make me understand the way of thy precepts. Hey, hearing it is one thing, but understanding it's another. Yes, then his commitment. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Hey, that's called giving a testimony. If God give you something in Scripture, when we ask for testimonies, don't take 35 minutes. Don't take 10 minutes. But if God's giving you something, share it with somebody. Then his prayer and his plea. Notice his purity, verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Now, I quoted that verse wrong the other day when I was reading it. I quoted, remove me from the way of lying, but that's not what he said. He said, remove from me the way of lying. Now, somebody said, preacher, what's the difference? Remove me from the way of lying would mean I'm in the way of lying. Would you please remove me from it? But remove from me the way of lying means it's in me. Would you please remove it out of me? Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that we are capable of committing any sin in the book. It's in us. And so we don't need to ask God to change our surroundings. We need to say, God, would you change me? That's why, folks, every word in our Bible is there on purpose, because the switching those two words would change the whole meaning of the text. And that psalmist says, I need that way of lying removed from me, his purity. So we see the confession of his soul, the cry of his supplication, last of all, the choice of the servant. Watch what he said in verse 30 through 32. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. We find a choice concerning his path. Verse 30, he said, Lord, would you remove from that, would you move from me the way of lying? He says, so I can choose the way of truth. I say this all the time. When you ask God to move something out of your life, replace it. Bad music, replace it with good music. Bad friends, replace it with good friends. Preacher said a statement last night. He said, when I got saved, he said, when I took a stand for the Lord, I lost a bunch of friends. He said, but you know what? For every one friend I lost, God's given me 100 good, godly friends. Yeah, that's right. Can anybody else testify to that? For every friend you lost in the world, God's probably given you 50 good, godly friends. Amen. God will do that to you. So the problem is, many times we'll separate and separate and separate, and I preach separation, but you got to replace. If you got a trouble, and I'm not picking on you, because I know music's a stronghold. If you're listening, you got trouble listening to bad music, replace it with good gospel music. Hey, if you've got a bad habit of reading bad things, read the Word of God. Replace it. You ran some bad friends, replace it with some good godly friends. Amen. A choice concerning persistency in verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. He said, you know what, God? I decided I'm going to stick with it. I said it two Sunday nights ago when I preached that message on quitting. Anybody can quit. But it takes somebody that's committed to stick with it. We could preach a message in this one verse on sticking with the stuff. May God help us to stick with the stuff. Not change. Brother Larry Wells preached at the camp meeting last week. Done a tremendous job preaching. Lord willing, he's going to be with us on a Sunday in March next year. And I went and shook his hand. He's Brother Andy Wells' dad. Brother Wells has been preaching probably close to 50 years. And I shook his hand. I said, Brother Wells, thank you for being faithful. Yes. And being the same. I said that about Brother Larry and Brother Sanford, some of these men of God that have gray hair, and I say it respectfully. Thank you for preaching and standing for truth. Because a lot of people that's changed.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate somebody, a man of God, that stays faithful to the Word and sticks with it. Amen. I thought about Brother Rayton Puckett. You've met him singing. Faithful man of God. Stood with the stuff. I think about Brother Harold Hawkins. He's with the Lord now. None of y'all ever knew him. Just me and my wife knew Brother Hawkins. But he died sticking with the stuff.
Yes.
I want that to be my testimony. When I die, I don't want him to say, boy, he built a great church, because I can't build one. Boy, he was a great preacher. You know what I'd want people to say about me? He never changed. He's faithful. He stood for what's right, and he stood what's right his whole ministry. You know why people crammed into Gospel Light Baptist in Walkertown for Bobby Robertson's funeral? Because they wanted to pay homage and pay respect to a man that never changed. Never change. May God help us have that testimony. And then last of all, a choice concerning passion. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I find his eagerness. He said, I want to run the right race. And I find his enlargement. He said, God, I want to grow. Enlarge my heart, Lord. You ever heard somebody say, boy, that guy's got a big heart. He's got a big heart. You know what? I want to have a big heart for the Lord. Most of the time when we say they got a big heart, we mean they're a loving person. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I hope people say, I have a big heart. I hope people don't say, I'm like the Grinch, that my heart is two sizes too small. Or, you know, whatever it is. But you know what? I want to have a big heart for loving people, but I also want to have a bigger heart for the Lord. Because I want to love Him more than I love them. Because if I love Him, I'll love them. So I said, preacher, I'm having trouble loving some people. Well, just love on Jesus. And if you'll love Him, you'll love them. Amen. 18 minutes. I went 3 minutes over my promise. But I appreciate your attention tonight. Amen. Let's receive some prayer requests tonight. We'll have a time of prayer.